May I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for inviting me here this evening. It is a privilege. This place is not unknown to me, because in my pastoral visits to the hospital across the way there, I often pop into here and just enjoy the quietness and the sanctity of this place. And on the last two occasions I've done that, the choir have been rehearsing, and that has been an extra special privilege. You are so fortunate in the quality of music here in this place. Jesus, in John's Gospel, in the lesson that was read to us, asks Peter a fundamental, crucial question, which required a fairly direct answer. He said, "Do you love me more than all else?" If you were to ask me who is my favorite saint, I would be hard-pressed to tell you, because in my book there are so many. Some of the names wouldn't mean a thing to you. They are people who have touched my life and enriched it immeasurably over the years. My Sunday school teacher, for one. She wouldn't have thought of herself as extraordinary in any way at all. A shop assistant. But she made the love of Jesus real to me. And it is people like her who qualify for that title, saint. But if I were to choose one person for this evening, it would be Peter. He would come very near the top of my list. Now, I am aware, as you are, that the Gospels are not meant to be detailed historical biographies that many of us enjoy reading. I love biography. I forget who it was that said, "Read biography, it's history without the theory," and you learn so much about reading biographies, about the interests of people, the influences that made them what they were, their habits, their likes, their dislikes, and so on. But the Gospels aren't like that. They are tantalizingly short, really, on the kind of details that we would like to know. Because the Gospels are not meant to be the equivalent of Facebook or Twitter, where people feel the need to share the minutiae of their lives, rather like those round-robin letters that go on forever and ever at Christmas time, giving you every detail imaginable about the family and the dog and everybody else. The Gospels aren't like that. The Gospels, and particularly the Gospel of John, simply offers pointers to the truth, if you're prepared to dig and think, in our understanding of the historical Jesus of faith. As well as here and there giving you a hint about the personalities of those who first followed Jesus. The reason I would choose Peter as my favorite saint is because I admire his rugged humanity. He was impetuous, volatile, impulsive, slashing off the ear of the centurion in his defense of Jesus, declaring positively, naively, "I will never desert you. No matter who does, I will stand by you forever." going into the tomb on Easter morning to make sure for himself that Christ was risen, not simply standing outside. What you saw was what you got with Peter. All his qualities of strength, courage, and vulnerability are to be seen in the pages of the Gospel. An open book, as we say. And here, he is alone with Jesus. One of the post-resurrection appearances by the shore of Tiberias. And Jesus saw in this rugged, lovable, big-hearted man, huge potential. And if that potential could be harnessed in the service of discipleship, there was no telling what could happen. Peter, in that moment with Jesus entirely alone, had a life-changing encounter. And it's perfectly obvious that Jesus wasn't going to let this big fisherman off the hook. He asked him 3 times a direct question that required an honest, unambiguous answer. No evasion, no emotional, impulsive, sentimental reaction, but an honest answer was required. Do you love me more than all else? The word love in our 21st century currency has been robbed of its true meaning, certainly as far as the mission of the church and Christianity is concerned at the moment. And it needs to be retrieved from the clutter that defaces and demeans it. The clutter of glitzy, casual, sensual hedonism, devoid of meaning and totally destructive very often to human relationships or a sense of worth. At the end of the day, the word love, in the Jesus sense of the word, is not a noun, it's a verb. To love someone. And it has no meaning whatsoever outside human relationships. It's not primarily to do with feelings, it's to do with action. My attitude to someone, my response to some situation. It is a motivating force that compels me to act in response to someone or on behalf of someone. It is not introverted, it is outgoing, it is beyond an obsession with myself. That is why Jesus pressed the question, do you love me? Do you love me more than all else? Trying to help Peter understand in these post-resurrection days that whatever the consequences, whatever the cost, inherent in that question, and in our discipleship with Jesus, is that other ultimate question, are you willing to trust me? Do you really believe that I love you, and therefore you can depend on me? Do you really believe that I will never let you down because you are held always in my love? And whatever you have to do, And whatever you have to face, and wherever you have to go, I will be there with you, sharing it. During this weekend of St. Peterstide, many people have been ordained to the ministry of the church. I gather there was an ordination service here yesterday and today. And even as we share in our service this evening, the Methodist Conference, which is meeting in Birmingham, will be holding its ordination services. And we remember all who will be sharing in those services at this time. I remember vividly my own ordination 44 years ago. I think few of us ever forget that. When we're in doubt and wonder some days who we are and what we're meant to be doing, to return to that moment when the weight of the ordaining hands were laid upon your head and the words were said over you in that transforming moment, "Receive thou the Holy Spirit for the office and work of a Christian minister, now committed unto thee by the imposition of our hands." Followed by the words, so related to the gospel passage this evening, "Let each of you be to the flock of Christ a shepherd, hold up the weak, heal the sick, bind up the broken, bring again the outcasts, seek the lost." And let us make no mistake about it, this is not simply those who are charged in ordination. It is about the total ministry of the church. You and me. Not something that we feel, but something that we are charged to do and to be. It was the Apostle Paul who never minced his words, who said, "Our love must not just be a matter of words, it must show itself in action." Because that is what God did in Jesus for us. Do you love me more than all else? That for me is such an ultimate and intimate question. I want to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to let you down. And I don't want to let other people down. I want to live out my love for you in service to others. I really do want to do that. But some days I'm uncertain and I'm frightened of the commitment and its consequences. But in my heart of hearts, it's what I want to do. The late and much loved Cardinal Basil Hume once said something about the cost of love and following Christ and how hard it sometimes is. And I close with his words. He says, "It may be helpful to remember that wanting to love God may well be as far as some of us can go. Simply wanting, that is already to have gone a long way toward loving him." Do you love me more than all else? Then follow me and trust me and leave the rest to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 217.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.